This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. It's a little after 5:30. Thank you all for braving the weather, whether it's a hurricane or not at this point. I don't really know. I'm from the Midwest. We don't have hurricanes. But thank you for coming to the, what are we at, the fifth GPSA meeting on October 29th at 5:35 or so. We'll go ahead and get started with the introduction of what voting members we have here. Thank you all for coming. Alex Black is not here.
Actually,
yeah. Oh, you are? Oh, great. Okay. I was just checking my email before, so great, thanks. Mia?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Trevaney? Fantastic. Bill? Eric is not here. Giovanna? Great, thank you. Jonathan? Fantastic. Liz? Okay. Mitch is here. Nicole?
Here.
Alex Moore? Don't think he made it. Sent me an email. Jenny? Great, thanks. Do you want me to change your name on here for Jenny, too? Okay. Yeah. Matt? Okay, great. Xiaoting? Rob? Okay, great. Eric is not here still. Han? Okay. Drew is also not here. And Monet? Great, thanks. Fantastic. All right, so our first item of the agenda this evening is a presentation from Barb Newt, who's the Dean of the Graduate School and the Vice Provost for the university. Unfortunately, Jan is not here. She was coming back from New York City, or trying to come back from New York City, and campus got shut down. So, Barb, I'll turn it over to you.
Jan is crossed out.
Yeah. She's not deceased. She's just not,
I'm not sure where I
able to come today.
Blinding. So I guess I'll stand here.
If you could, yeah.
So I'm not going to be using slides tonight. What I wanted to do is to thank you for inviting me to talk about the primary goal that I have is to talk with you about the Graduate Community Initiative and the progress we collectively have made on the GPI, and it's really going to be the focus of my comments. And just so that you know and Mitch knows, we're working on documenting progress that we've made on the GPI. So after this meeting, Mitch, we're going to add in the pieces about career services that have been done on the GPI, and then get that document to you probably within the next couple of weeks so that your GPI community can work from that. So let me just begin by indicating that some of what we've been able to achieve in the graduate school, particularly with regard to the Graduate Community Initiative, occurred prior to my becoming dean. So I became graduate school dean in July of 2010. So some of what has been accomplished is due to the efforts of the former dean and her staff, Susan Murphy's staff, Vice President Susan Murphy, and then as well as the new staff that we've brought into the graduate school in the last couple of years while I've been dean, and some restructuring that we've done. And particularly, I just wanted to make sure that you're aware of three new hires, and these that have been talked about in the graduate school announcement, so I'll just be very brief. But Jan Allen, who is crossed out here as Associate Dean for Academic and Student Affairs, now is bringing more vision about what we can be doing with regard to academic programs for students and academic programs. And so she'll be taking a closer look at what we could do with dissertation writing support. We've got some activities coming up and some discussions with the Office of Research about what the graduate school can be doing more on responsible conduct of research. So really try to think how can we support better the academic programs and the academic abilities and skill sets of students. So it's great to have Jan on board. And then Jan, the supervisor is Jan LeMay, who is our new assistant dean for student life. So Jana will be focusing on the elements of student life that aren't aren't so closely linked to academics. I mean, we understand that your personal life and your academic life as graduate and professional students are intertwined. However, some aspects of student life are more related to the personal side or the relationship side. And so JAMA will be working not only on one-on-one counseling and meetings with students, but she'll also be developing a suite of programs and activities. And I'll make some comments about some of those as I go on. But these are programs to support your financial management knowledge, your personal financial management knowledge, and budgeting, dual career workshops for any partners or spouses that you bring to Ithaca who are looking for jobs, that sort of thing. So I'll say a little bit more as I go through my comments about what Shanna will be working on. And then I also wanted to mention Colleen McQuinn, who joined us this summer as the director for what we call the CU CIRTL program. CU is Cornell University, and CIRTL, C-I-R-T-L, is the Center for the Integration of Research, Teaching, and Learning, which is a consortium of 25 institutions, higher education institutions nationwide, that have joined together for future faculty training and development. To offer programs across our campuses. So some of you may have participated in those, which are online, virtual communities. We're doing some events on campus as well. So all together, this set of three new people, I think, will be very instrumental even in bringing more accomplishment towards the GCI. And then finally, I also want to mention Sherry Notaro, who many of you may have met, who joined us about a little bit more than a year ago, who heads up, as Associate Dean, heads up of our Office of Inclusion and Professional Development. And the Professional Development group is also offering many expanded opportunities and workshops and seminars and so on for your benefit. So Jan, Jana, and Sherry will be, and Colleen, will be working together to put together kind of a visualization of the different kinds of professional and academic development activities that are available to graduate and professional students, and highlighting which of those are most appropriate at the, quote, developmental stage that you are. So in your first year as a PhD student, there are some things that in particular you should be paying attention to. In your fourth year as a PhD student, there are different things that you should be paying attention to. So they're working together to develop this comprehensive program of academic and professional development offerings for you. So keep your eyes posted for that. So let me then just drill down into the Graduate Community Initiative. And I should mention that your efforts collectively to update the GCI are getting attention at the highest levels. I was with a meeting of President Scorton and his senior staff this afternoon, and President Scorton referred to the GCI by name. So you're getting that message out, so congratulations to you. So some of the themes of the GCI, and I'll go through these and not give you an exhaustive list, but give you some highlights. So the first major theme of the GCI towards the Graduate Community Center was actually about providing a centralized space for graduate life initiatives. Honestly, we're going to have the Big Red Barn Graduate and Professional Student Center. Given the budget situation, where we are, given the debt load of the university, I don't anticipate that in my lifetime, and I don't mean that just my tenure here at Cornell, I literally mean my lifetime, we'll see a new Graduate and Professional Student Center here at Cornell. So I think we need to make the best of what we have. So I've been working with Cornell Facilities to make sure that they're building the Big Red Barn into their maintenance budget, into their capital planning, to keep it running and functioning. So if you update the GCI, the suggestion for you all is to think about the budget context that we're working in. That said, I'm very pleased that with Nicole's and others' push, we've developed the Big Red Barn Advisory Board. And so Chris Porta, who's the manager of the Big Red Barn, will be getting underway with that. And we really look forward to the comments from the student, faculty, and staff who are part of that advisory board to help us shape the mission and the vision for the Big Red Barn. One of the other elements under this notion of a graduate community center in the GCI was the goal to increase cross-departmental socialization with both recreational facilities, but also, as I interpreted it, with academic interactions. So one of the things that I think has been very useful is for TPSA to be coming involved in the selection of the Olin lecturers each year. And then certainly Jan LeMay is going to be re-energizing what has been called the Graduate Professional Student Advocate Committee. So this is a group of professionals from across campus who get together periodically to talk about the services and activities and support structures that are provided for graduate students. Under that idea of cross-discipline or cross-department socialization, some of the other things that have happened, though, the Center for Teaching Excellence has expanded its offerings for graduate teaching assistant training, working across disciplines, getting people from multiple disciplines to work together in that venue. In the graduate school, I mentioned CU CERTL, which brings together students across disciplines as well. But also, I think, I hope, a real achievement, which seems not that big a deal, but it was a big deal to get there, is the fact that we now send all of you graduate school announcements weekly, so that hopefully it's reaching all of you, it's supposed to be reaching all registered students. And that's our way of helping you understand the variety of resources and activities and events that are there to support you. So that's something that I meet monthly with the GPSA leadership, and if you have any thoughts collectively about how we can make that weekly communication that goes directly to all students even more valuable, if you have any comments about how you're using it or not using it, if you're not using it, why you're not using it, you know, convey that to the GPSA leadership, because that really is a mechanism that we have to communicate with you all. One of the other things in the GCI, the suggestions, the recommendations that was made was to have more space available for graduate student activities. So some of the things that we've done in Caldwell Hall, which is where the graduate school staff are located, we've now made available through the Office of Graduate Student Life an office, so shared office space for the GPSA leadership and also for the leadership of the Black Graduate and Professional Student Association, the Society for Asian American Graduate Affairs, the Indigenous Graduate Student Association, and the Latino Graduate Student Coalition. So there's shared desks that these groups can use. There's shared file spaces. So we're hoping that provides a mechanism both to get student leaders together in one place, but also to help with some of the space needs. The other piece, and I think you're all aware of this, given your prior GPSA meetings, is that there is a university space utilization study underway. I'm scheduled to meet with the space consultants, I believe, tomorrow, or maybe Wednesday, if they get into town. But
they,
the whole idea
not.
Is, what's that?
They're not.
Is there, so
they're
you,
not.
Try
they're
out
not, yeah.
Okay, well, we might do it by phone call then. So the whole idea is to do an assessment of space in your field, department, graduate school space, but as well community space across campus. So the university really is taking seriously what some of the needs are and how they should be assessed and met. There was also an item in the GCI about enhancing the sense of graduate and professional student identity on campus. So again, this idea of the graduate school announcement. Changes that we've made just recently is that as PhD students complete their A exam and their B exam, they now will receive a personal letter from me congratulating them on those achievements. But more importantly, perhaps, the A exam letter will include information about resources available to assist students in understanding the ins and outs of writing a dissertation. And the B exam congratulatory letter will include information about career services, an encouragement to students to make use of those career services. So again, we're looking for ways to get out the word about what resources are available to students. We also have initiated, well, we're still developing too, but we are initiating a series of four surveys that will go out to graduate and professional students. From the graduate school. In the summer, we launched an admitted but not enrolled enrolling students are late, but that's none of you. That's your colleagues who were admitted but chose not to come to Cornell, so that we can understand the reasons why people choose not to come to Cornell. And that might help us better target our visibility or marketing or information about graduate programs here. We implemented a new student survey in September, and then we're still in development on a student experience survey that will go to PhD students every 2 years, and an exit survey that will go to all people who are all graduate professional students who are graduating either in January, May, or August. And we have student input into those, including your GPSA leadership and all other student focus groups. So, again, we're hoping that that information will help inform us about graduate student identity and how we're doing on those issues. Another element, a major theme of the GCI was towards increased career services for graduate and professional students. I already mentioned the Center for Teaching Excellence and CU CIRTL and the programs they do for future faculty development. Also, I mentioned the Graduate School's Office of Inclusion and Professional Development. Their professional development workshops relate to career development as well. And then I'm really pleased that we were at graduate school was able to enter into a partnership with University Career Services. And we funded a part of the position, and they funded a part of the position. Our part focuses on graduate professional student career services specifically. The part funded centrally focuses on international student career support. And given that so many of our graduate students are international, this position has a big focus on graduate and professional students. And that position resulted in the hiring of Ann Paduska. Dr. Paduska is going to be talking with you in a little while, so I won't steal her thunder, and she can tell you about some of the other things that are going on in career services. Under that element of career services, there was also a note in the GCI about job resources for trailing partners and spouses. So those of you who have partners who moved to Ithaca with you. We, last year, worked on developing a partnership through Cornell's Human Resources with the Cornell Human Resources Dual Career Office. So we now offer workshops. We had a very successful workshop right after new student orientation for, I think, about 45 or so student partners to learn about job search strategies in the Ithaca area and in the region. We now have resources on our website. So we're trying to address that that issue of job resources for trailing partners and spouses. Jana LeMay is spearheading that relationship, and there will be more workshops in January to touch on those new students as well. Finally, I just wanted to comment about the notion of the other theme, which was towards improved graduate housing. Some of you may know that Vice President, that housing is not in my zone of influence, if you will directly. That's really under Vice President Susan Murphy in Student and Academic Services. And so Vice President Murphy constituted a committee, a housing planning committee, to examine financing and building options that might be available, particularly for the Maplewood area, in the post-Maplewood era, once we have the resources and the ability to do something in that location. So that at least is underway. And let me see if there's anything else I haven't touched on. One of the other broader issues that was mentioned in the GCI was certainly mental health issues and graduate student involvement with the wider community. Under mental health issues, again, Jana LeMay, who's been hired as the assistant dean for student life, is going to be working on programming related to mental health in collaboration with the dean of students office and others on campus. But she's also developing programs with an organization called ClearPoint. ClearPoint is a not-for-profit personal financial management organization that Cornell University Human Resources contracts with to guide staff on budgeting and financial management and retirement planning and things like that. And so we're making those resources available to graduate students as well. So as you think about budgeting and planning for, particularly those of you, for example, who need to plan for getting a lump sum stipend or fellowship payment at the beginning of the semester, and you haven't had that experience in making those dollars stretch over 4 months, ClearPoint can help you with some strategies about how to do that and how to think about it. So we're thinking about that just in terms of how to really build capacity of individuals with regard to those kinds of personal needs. And then finally, the notion of linking graduate students in the wider community. We're trying to think of ways, particularly at orientation time, to be bringing resources from the Ithaca community to be available to new students so that new students have an opportunity to learn about all the resources that are available in the community. So let me stop there, and I'd be happy to take questions or hear suggestions or thoughts that you have about the GCI and progress on it, or areas where you think we haven't made any progress. Questions?
Okay. Yeah, I'll delay you.
I'm just wondering if there's going to be an easy way to access data from the surveys for the GPSA wants to use that or other things.
Yes. So we'll be working on that. Those are actually two other new hires that we made. Rosemary Lane is a designer. They call themselves Data Solutions. So they're the Data Solutions team. They're going to be working on developing the reporting and the analysis for all four surveys. And much of it will be posted on the website, but if GCSA has particular needs, once you see what's posted on the website, you know, what's publicly available in the report, if you have other questions. And I think I shared with Mitch the final survey instruments for the two that were already implemented, and we'll make sure the GPSA has the survey instruments for the other two surveys so you can see what's been asked. And so if when you see the reports that are developed, there are other analyses that you would like to have done, we can certainly negotiate that and talk about that. One thing that it occurs to me that I'll let Rosemary know is that Mitch, if they would like to get together with a few folks from GPSA as they think about what they're going to be putting into their report, you know, what how they're going to structure the report. Mm-hmm. If you have contact, should they just get in touch with you, or what do you recommend?
Yeah, that'd be great. I can think of a few individuals that would probably be interested in doing that.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll try to organize that.
Resources, are those available now?
Yeah, they're available. There's information website. So if you probably, if you just got into the graduate school website and in the search box, put ClearPoint, it's kind of all one word, but the C and the P are capital. you'll find it. It should be under the Student Life tab. But we're going to be updating, now that Janet's on board, she just started several weeks ago, we're going to be making that much more explicit and hopefully better, more visible to you. But yeah, look for ClearPoint. And if you don't find it, send me an email and I'll have Janet get back to you with specific information.
Are there any other questions about particularly GCI issues? You know, the graduate school and the Office of Student and Academic Services under Vice President Murphy are kind of the big administrative units that are going to, that our GCI is going to be targeted to. So anything about that, whether it be, see, what are our eight topic areas? There are career resources, which we've talked about, graduate space,
international students
and diversity, family services, which we've found some things on, transportation, housing, which are probably outside of the realm of the graduate school, and integrating a graduate community. So are there any comments or questions on those that you'd have for Barb? Yeah, go ahead. You have
a general question. So when we're putting it together, how would we get information as broad of a student body as possible? So what would you like to see?
Well, that's a good question. I think to be a credible document, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, need to see ratification by a certain percentage of graduate professional students or something like that. But I think if you can demonstrate through your process that that you had substantive in-depth discussions with students across the university. And again, remember that in the graduate school, when I say professional students, the professional students that are in the graduate school are a host of like 15 or so different professional master's degrees. But I don't oversee or confer degrees on MBA students or BDM or JD. And so to the extent that GCSA wishes the GCI to be inclusive and representative of the needs of all graduate professional students across campus, you know, you should think about which populations you're including in your deliberations. And is it truly graduate school students, or is it truly you know, graduate and professional students from the professional schools as well, because the needs may be different. So, you know, again, not so much that there's you know, percentages of people who have you know, signed a petition, yes, we want the GCI, but rather demonstrating that there's been really substantive and thoughtful involvement and analysis in the recommendations that are being put forward, I think would be most helpful.
Anything else from anyone? Even those in the audience? Up beyond the bar? Beyond the food, really. Okay. Great. Well, thanks, Barb.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right. Up next is Pam Paduska, who has sort of already been introduced. And I'll let you take it away. And just,
okay,
if you can tell me next slide, I'll move them along.
That's great. And I have two handouts. Some of them are appropriately wet, the standard colored ones, so that's all I got. So yeah, I'll just pick these up here. So thank you so much for inviting me to be here. It's such a delight to be presenting to you. And I just wanted to introduce myself a little bit and also to let you know about some career services that are available to graduate and professional students. So I was like you many years ago. I did my graduate degree here at Cornell, where I studied theoretical chemistry and science communication. And I was also involved in GCSA, and I can attest supplement the existing career services on campus. So just a question, how many of you know where you could go for career advice, apart from your advisor? Okay, not bad. Well, one of the first things I did when I joined here is to figure out who meets with graduate and professional students. And it's not always a clear-cut path, because the career services on campus are focused on the undergraduate college structure, but of course, we're on the field structure. And so I developed a little handout, it's the white document right there, to help guide students for where they go for career services. So if you're in a professional master's degree program, typically you can go to your program's office. The white document details that a little bit more. And if you're a non-professional master's or PhD degree, then you should go to the career office most closely aligned with your field. However, all of you lucky souls out there that would be going to arts and sciences, human ecology, or veterinary medicine, you get to meet with me. And if you don't know where to go, feel free to either call or send an email, and we'll help direct you where you need to go. And in case you're interested, and so, these are primarily for non-academic careers, so if you don't want to be a faculty member, pretty much anything else will meet with you. If you're interested in doing a postdoc, you can meet with Christine Holmes, who's the director of postdoctoral studies. And if you are interested in faculty positions, you know, BART has mentioned some resources, and we also recommend that you meet with your special committee members. So just to tell you a little bit about what I do. So my mission, as BART mentioned, I meet with graduate students who would like careers outside of academia. I meet with international students, both undergraduate and graduate. And I also meet with individuals who would like an international career. Once again, undergrad and graduate. And I do this in a variety of ways. One of them is individual appointments. So in all career offices, you can create drop-in hours. And I usually meet with about 15 to 25 students per week. I'm also involved in campus-wide communication. So the grad school newsletter, I've been advertising some of the career events there, and also the grad school website. A really big part of my job is building relationships with career advisors across campus, and also to, this is a minor part of my job, but building relationships with employers. Since I just joined here in June, so about 4 months ago, I've really been trying to develop some on-campus programming, and then just developing resources for our website and also for the career services library. And just to give you an idea of some of the programs that I have been offering in collaboration with a bunch of different groups. So one of the categories is career perspective. So I know that if you're thinking about a career outside of academia, sometimes you're like, I know I don't want to be in academia, and then what next? And so I'm trying to do some programming to help you get beyond that potential. I know I don't want to be here, but I don't know what to do. And I did this program for humanities and social science students a little working, how to work in groups. Once again, we had someone come in and give a talk, and students were able to get hands-on practice, introducing themselves and shaking hands, that type of thing. And then some of you might have attended the Preparing for the Career Fair, Approaches for Graduate Students and Postdocs. That was a big thing. All the time, I'm like, the Career Fair is just for undergrads. People are saying, oh, I talked to these employers, and they say, oh, we don't talk to these students. So this presentation was to try to help students figure out what approaches will work and increase their chances of success. Then the last one, the transitioning to an international career. I'm actually collaborating with a grad student who is actually the Peace Corps representative here on campus, partnering with the IW Center, Cornell Abroad. And this is actually going to happen November 8th. And these are going to be individuals talking about how do you actually get an international career. And then I'm also be giving a talk in the spring about non-faculty job opportunities within academia. And in terms of international students, this is something that I'm really trying to get an understanding of. So I've been talking to people across campus. And right now I've just been focusing on two areas, skill building, so interviewing jobs and internship search, and then also just doing some career planning as well. And then just to supplement what Barb was saying about the GCI, I just compiled a few point-by-point responses to what the GCI said. So in terms of the workshop, you know, this is something that I'm working on. We had seven non-academic career programs provided this fall. Some of them were made up by my colleagues, which collaborated with them and making sure that there's a grad and professional student angle to them. There's a resource called Ripple House PT. Have any of you heard of this? Okay, not bad. Did you know, want to say what it is? You look great.
The largest part that I've explored is a series of forums, a lot of future targeted discussion that go over a certain period of time on basically these sorts of things. People with PhDs, especially in social sciences and humanities, but they've also added a physical sciences component more recently, exploring non-academic career options, how you communicate your transferable skills, learn from other people who've had similar sorts of career trajectories, and so on and so forth. I signed up the day that we, or maybe not the day, but the week that we, that Cornell got a subscription, and I was sort of very
lucky. That's great. And one option is that you can ask questions, and they also do a very good job of layering it, so if you want to remain anonymous, you absolutely can. And then another resource that's offered through the Career Services website is Optimal Resume. Have any of you heard of this before? No. All right. So this is a program that essentially helps you make a resume. And it has a lot of model resumes. And it also has a link to ONET, which is the Department of Labor's list of job titles. And so if you want to be, for example, a consultant and you don't actually know what bullet points in your resume that describe your skills should be, you can find out because it links directly to it and gives you examples that way. So that can be a great resource. And my favorite, it gives you the plain text form of your resume, so you don't have to sit there and press the state bar a lot to get all the information right. And then I'm also just trying to increase communications about how students may need career advisors. And then legal advice. Unfortunately, I can't really offer it. I can just provide you legal advice, I guess. But they does a great job. They provide one-on-one counseling on visa issues. And they also provide some training. I know that they had a really great program last week with a local law firm to talk about visas after graduation. But I'm here to help advise both domestic and international students, especially domestic students who need like an international career. I'm happy to talk with you to visualize what you want and put you in touch with resources. And so Cornell Track, I actually had never heard of that before, but some of you have probably heard of CCNet.
I actually haven't used it, but I've been to the website.
Okay. Has anyone actually used CCNet? Yay.
It's basically a website you can access through the Career Services webpage, and they have all different job listings, and so you can post a resume that's public that employers can look at, or you can file individual applications with individual cover letters and resumes to specific jobs that you find online.
Yeah. So I've heard some And then grad school does an exit survey where they ask questions about career plans and career assistance. And I personally do evaluation forms at my different programs, and I'm working on developing some evaluation forms for the smaller programs as well. And then expanding information sources, temporary and summer internship positions. So this is one thing also that I work with students a lot, because internships can fall into a bunch of different flavors. And once again, communication to the grad school newsletter, CCNet. If you want to learn more about CCNet, that's the salmon colored flyer. There's some career fairs. There's one in September. There's a nonprofit and government career fair in February. And right now we're exploring the possibility of having a virtual career fair just for graduate students and have several universities join together. And that might be happening this February, so keep an eye open for that as well. And then access to extended alumni database. So once again, look at CCNet for alumni who are visiting. There's also an alumni mentoring program that's part of CCNet, but we're currently pursuing in career services to actually use LinkedIn as a way to establish connections with alumni. So I would be happy to answer any questions you have or to give suggestions for programming. Yes. You're getting back now for calling.
First, thank you very much for your work with the Pay and Benefits Committee. I was on the survey committee 2 years ago, and we relied very heavily on your excellent support.
Oh, thank you.
So, and thank you also for everything you've done so far in just a short months. My question is basically a question, I guess, of I don't know, your workload or capacity or what that's like. We think about the GCI going forward. So about 40%-ish, a little bit more than that, of graduate professional students are international. The incoming class this year was over 50%, and that trend has been going up over time. I think for undergrad, it's about 10% international, if I'm recalling correctly. So that's one half of your position. The other half is students in the humanities and social sciences. So off the top of my head, that's 1,200-ish or so graduate students. I guess I wonder, do you feel like, I don't know how to ask the question, do you think it would be beneficial for...
Are you asking if I can actually do my job?
Well, no, the question I was going to ask was, I suppose, not quite like that, but if we think about drafting the companion section, the new section on career services, would it be appropriate or helpful or useful for the GPSA to advocate to continue to expand these resources, given the increased trajectory toward, I would argue, toward non-academic careers for students in these fields, and the increased number of international students we have? Is this an area where we should advocate for expansion of career services?
That's a great question, and that's something that I would also appreciate Mark's input, since I've only been here for 4 months. But I would say, and I didn't see statistics up, but approximately 50% of graduate students pursue a career outside of academia, and it's, depending on your discipline, up to, I think it's 70% of master's students get a career outside of academia. And you know, the job market is really tough, pretty much everywhere you look. So yes, there seems to be an increased demand for career resources for careers outside of academia. So let me just add that
Anne did a nice job of pointing out the involvement of the career development offices in the colleges and schools, as well as central career services. And actually that expanded the attention to graduate and professional students in those offices collectively expanded after the GCI, so that I think the GCI can have some input or impact on what happened. So again, if based on the trends that you're seeing both here at Cornell and nationally, but you know, most importantly at Cornell, that you have evidence and students are providing evidence that it would make sense to focus even more in those areas, I think that would be helpful to see in that report.
Yeah, and if this is something that you'd like to discuss with me, I'd be more than happy to talk about that as well. So I'm glad we're
We probably have time for one more question, so I know, I'm sorry. Rob, did
you?
Okay.
My question was, is there currently any resources for people who have already graduated from Cornell? Is there some sort of alumni resources that we can stay connected and still find careers that were changing paths from academia to financially after a certain time?
That's a really good question. So I have been meeting with alumni, either through Skype or phone conversations, but to be honest, it's limited because there's a lot of value in terms of sitting down with a person, doing an in-person resume critique or cover letter. I haven't been able to do something long distance, but in general, it's been difficult to do. I know that there are some resources that are available to alums. I think that you can be part of CCNet for 5 years, and there's a variety of resources. But unfortunately, we don't have someone dedicated just to do that. That's a really good question.
Okay, well, thanks. I wish we had time for more, but please chat with Anne, or do you want to just say your
email? My email ID is AT284, so please feel free.
Okay.
And if anyone does want to make an appointment with me to talk about advising, the best way to do that is actually to call, not to email.
Okay, thanks. All right, next up is Steve Schuster, who is the Assistant Chief Information Officer for the campus. You're up, Steve.
Hi, so thank you for your time tonight. I'd like to start with just two quick comments. First off, I want to offer my sincere gratitude, I guess. The involvement here is really amazing. So I'm going to assume GPSA is doing great stuff. I know you're very, very busy people, so the fact that you're spending your time here is really quite astonishing. So I want to acknowledge that. Secondly, I want to offer my very humble apology. I know there's at least one blatant typo in here that I will apologize for right up front. So with that, I'll kick off. I'm here to talk tonight about the new Cornell IT strategic plan. We're just in the process of starting to roll out some early drafts. Back up just a little bit and talk about our development kind of this day, I'll say prior to this year. Typically, when people thought about what the IT needs were on campus, whether it was services or the types of computers we supported or the types of networks we had, we would put IT people in a room and ask them to think about what the needs were. This is totally different this year. We're reaching out directly to the users, those that are impacted by IT on campus. So certainly with graduate students, certainly with undergraduate students, professors, instructors, and otherwise. So it's something very unique for us, and it's very exciting, I think, for me anyway. You can kind of think of this, and I'm actually very impressed with where you're getting with the GCI, and this is what I really hope to get here, even though we are very, very early in the process. The IT strategic plan, if done correctly, will hit, hopefully, some fairly high-level, I'll call them aspirational goals, and then with some very explicit activities underneath those, that hopefully a year from now, we'd be able to stand up here in this forum and say, this is what we heard and here's what we're delivering. So actually, GCI is very impressive in that way. Thank you. Please go forward for me. So let me talk about the purpose. First off, we're looking at about a 3 to 5 year horizon. Not super, super aspirational, but what are the needs that we can deliver on in the next 3 to 5 years? I talked about the broad user base and the broad input. Because of the small time constraint that I'm going to have here, I'm not going to solicit input now. I'm going to ask for either you to email me directly. My net ID is SJS74. If I get enough participation, I would love to have a little subgroup that I meet with to talk about what the needs are and otherwise. So that's the last 4 out of this piece. The 3 to 5 year plan, the desires are, much like what we're seeing with the GCI, is to directly drive investments and strategy. What are we moving toward? For example, right now I think we do a very, very poor job in our mobile applications. The fact that we can't get to student data using mobile phones, to me, is a pretty wide gap That's a pretty obvious one. But I know there's other ones in this space. Another example is I've met with undergraduate students. I was actually surprised to hear how beneficial a loaner laptop program is in some of the colleges. I was shocked. I thought everybody had laptops and carried their own. These are the things that we hope to gather, and some of them are actually fairly easy to fix, again, to make your work here on campus hopefully more productive. So, again, as I mentioned, going directly to the end users, we have about five sections right now that we are explicitly going after. First and foremost is the student experience. As you are on campus, what are the things that are working well that we can make sure that we are continuing to invest in? And maybe more importantly, what are the gaps that we right now have? And we can make sure that we either set aside resources, that is people, or set aside funding to meet the needs that we have. Another, and we're meeting with student groups, Mitch is actually on a group that we're working with, that we will start collecting lots of needs, prioritizing across those, and creating a plan. Second area is our teaching and learning space. Faculty and students on there, what are the needs in the classrooms? What is it that our faculty need to more effectively deliver against their programs and otherwise? Third area is research. Ted Dodd, the CIO, went on a tour across campus this summer, meeting with lots and lots and lots of faculty members individually, trying to understand again what their needs are, that we can extrapolate from and create a section within them. Second to last, service excellence. That is, how do we provide our services? It's no good if we're providing services, one, that aren't meeting your needs, but secondly, if they're not up and running for you on a regular basis. If you're trying to get on wireless in an area that has high dense population and you're not able to get on wireless, it's not doing you much good. We need to understand those pieces. That's about service excellence. How we make sure we're meeting capacity, how we make sure we're testing and delivering top quality. And then finally, I'll say it's a slightly more selfish one, the IT career framework. That is, how do we make sure that the IT professionals on campus, of which there are 800, actually understand the career progression that they're on? How do we make sure that they're getting the training that they need? How do we make sure that they understand that they can move from a developer to a software engineer to an architect and what that looks like across that path? So that's the area that we're looking at. One area that I will mention that I did not put on here, even though we are doing some work in, is in our administrative systems. So that's something I would expect to hear from you. Course enroll and other things we know, again, one of the things I've heard fairly consistently is the lack of integration across a lot of the systems that we use. So that's one of them that I would expect to be reflected in this space. And then finally, Mitch. So the blatant typo is right up in the title, what we're asking you to do. As you think about whether it's infrastructure or services or within the classroom, what are the things working well for you? What are the things we could do better with? And what are the things that simply aren't met right now? Now, I will share with you, there's some really interesting things coming out of this. It's reaching a little bit, but I think we're going to be successful here. We understand we're not doing well tapping into the resources, the full set of resources that we have on campus. So one of the areas in mobile technology that we're looking at doing is figuring out if we could, as a group, develop and open up APIs and open up data so that students can help us meet the needs and publish mobile apps within a reasonable framework. It seems like something that's a no-brainer. Lots and lots of places across the world are doing that. It fits nicely here because we have a fantastically creative student population. So those are the types of things we're talking about. So let me get, what I'm asking of you is, if you have some explicit directions or needs or whines and complaints that you'd like to make sure I hear about, is that JF74, happy to hear any at all. And then if there's even a half dozen of you that would consider meeting an hour a week or so for a couple of weeks, I think it would be really beneficial for us, and I'll say for the other students on campus, to have that amount of time. So, Mitch, if I have any time at all, I can take some questions.
Yeah, just a couple.
Okay. Way in the back. No, it's something we can do for you. Actually, it's work underway right now. So part of it, I'm going to go technical just for a second. Part of it is the hard wire that goes into the building, and that's typically at 10 megabits, so 10 megabits. Then you put wireless and wired connections on it. The only thing out of the building is 10 megabits, right? That's part of the problem. We have a very large campus-wide rewiring project going on where we're going with GIG. Once we get GIG to the older buildings as well, and Jay Hall is the last, the administration is one of the very last ones to get it. Yeah, I know. I'm talking about that too, Barb. So moving up to 10 gigs will make a phenomenal difference. I think that's due to be finished 2 years or so. So it won't be quick, but it is coming.
Please. On the issue of bandwidth, I wonder if you can talk about the network usage-based billing system. I know that's a real concern for people who are living about the 12% of grad students living in on-campus housing.
Yeah.
I know the cap was raised recently. I wonder if there are any long-term plans about what that cap might look like, especially if there is an expansion, from 10 megabits to gigabit.
So when we started this, actually 10 years ago, there's a challenge, right? You can never have enough bandwidth. Especially as more and more things are moving onto the internet, you can never have enough bandwidth. So we needed to make sure that we preserve bandwidth for research, teaching, and administration, right? So that's the whole purpose for this. We keep bumping up the bar because we understand that as you're pulling down bigger data sets, as you're doing other things, and more things are moving onto the internet, you just consume more of it, right? What we're trying to hit are those that I'll call it abusing, even though that's a little bit of a strong word, that are abusing the bandwidth. Lots of times there's still viruses that are doing that, lots of times there's otherwise. Every year we revisit. Every year we ask, is this still making sense? It was very, very interesting when we first implemented it. File sharing was 10 or 11 years ago. I only think of a bigger problem than we have actually today. We looked at what effect it had across campus, and what we found is researchers and faculty, their bandwidth remained exactly the same, even though we were charging them. What we found with students and in the residential halls is it went like this. So our conclusion was, there's an easy way out of it as well, our conclusion was that with discretionary use. And so what we do each time is try to decide what would be discretionary use and what is acceptable use in that. Every year we rebalance. We talked about getting rid of it. It will drive costs because of our management needs. But every year we're looking at it. So we easily answer, I apologize. But we do look at it every year.
Okay, great. I'm going to cut us off. If you have any other questions or comments on the IT strategic plan, please email him SJF74. Or email me if you're interested in participating in a focus group of sorts for them. So thanks.
Thank you again.
All right, now we're going to move into a quick breakout session that Yevgeny is going to lead on behalf of the Student Advocacy Committee.
Okay, but I think most of the people have asked the student advocacy members come down and see who we are.
Move into the approval of the minutes from last meeting. You all should have received it in the email on Friday from Nicole. Are there any amendments to the minutes? Yeah, please.
The minutes that I was asking, but I said
okay, great. We'll make sure to change that.
I debated whether or not to amend it before I said that.
Yeah, we'll just. Yes. Is there any opposition to amending that? Fantastic. Great. Is there any other amendments to the minutes? Fantastic. Is there any objection to passing the minutes? Yeah, please, Mia.
I was passing, and it says I'm present.
Okay.
Aha! Debating. Okay.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Any opposition to that? Great, thanks. Any opposition to approving the minutes? Great, fantastic. We will move on. There we go. So quickly, a report from me. We had a Board of Trustees meeting this last weekend. When Nighthawk gets back, he had a bunch of stuff to do today. When he comes back here on the 12th, I'll have him give a presentation about that. I was going to talk, but in the interest of time, I won't. The IV Plus Summit is coming up this weekend, as well as an NAGPS National Conference. Yevgeny and Nicole, as well as a couple of administrators, are going to IV Plus, and I'm headed down to North Carolina, hopefully, to the NAGPS summit or conference. If anyone has any, you know, these conferences and summits are kind of about bringing grad students together and grad student organizations together. So if anyone has any particular, you know, kind of lessons learned they want to hear about from different graduate groups at other institutions, be sure to let one of the three of us know, and we'll pick that up. And regardless, we'll report back to you next time. So I'm going to take away your time to chat about it.
Fine.
And also for tomorrow and Wednesday, anyone who signed up for the space utilization study sessions, they are not happening. Consultants aren't able to get here because they're flying. Surprise, surprise, and I think there's some weather or something hindering them. So anyone who signed up, don't sign up now if you haven't, and they will be rescheduled. Bill, do you have anything for appropriation?
No.
Great, thanks. Marcus is not here, but if you have anything for the buzz, send it Marcus's way. Vinay, do you have anything for Finance Commission?
The second meeting is coming up Thursday. Deadline for application is held last Friday, so thank you.
Evan, yeah?
Just going to ask you a sense for how much has been allocated so far and how much remains.
More than half of it has been allocated already. So we're going to split the remaining between the rest of the semester and next
semester. Great, thanks. Giovanna, do you have anything for the two of you?
We have our next inter-school this year, November 15th. It's going to be Humanities, PE, and Regional Planning, Architecture, and Landscape Architecture. So you're all invited.
Great, thanks. Yevgeny, do you?
Yep, so just an announcement. It's actually a weekly breakout session to the Town Hall, Bullish Street Hall Memorial Room. All the members of the team, Thursday, 7:30, 9:30, for the mixer, it's at the same time as the mixer, but it could be good to go to the mixer, come to the Town Hall, go to the Town Hall, and go to the mixer. So, go back and forth. But really, you can get emails about this, so please encourage people to show up just for a little bit over the whole time. What we really need is input from different students.
Will you send an email through the listserv that students can forward to their field?
Yeah, you will get many emails.
Great, thanks, Evgeny. So I'll move on to the new business, Resolution 9, which would create the GPSA Faculty Teaching, Advising, and Mentorship Award Committee. Was introduced by Nicole and a host of others. You also should have received this in the Friday email, so I'm going to let Nicole introduce it.
Yeah, so we created the Ad Hoc Committee on Teaching, Advising, and Mentorship last year and administered the first award to its four faculty members who are great teachers, advisors, and mentors. It was a huge success, and we want to keep doing it as an annual tradition. And the best way to do that is rather than having an ad hoc committee, having a permanent committee. And that's what this resolution does. The committee would meet at a bare minimum once a semester to choose the winner. Once there's sort of an easy structure in place for administering the award, you don't need to have lots of committee meetings. Sorry to keep with my trend of just creating committees for everything that we need to do, but that's how it works. So yeah, that's the goal. This does change the bylaws, it's amended to the bylaws because it adds an entire new committee. And so that, you know, you should take that as a fairly serious resolution. But yeah.
And so I can, if anyone is curious to see this again, we can certainly go through it. Are there any amendments or now we're opening for discussion. So mm-hmm. amendments are welcome if there are any, and there's further discussion on it. I guess I'll offer the first amendment to the resolution itself. We always, near the end, say that this resolution should be sent to this long list of people. I want to propose an amendment that would add Joe Burns, who is the Dean of Faculty. And the Dean of Faculty is a very powerful position on campus. They oversee the Faculty Senate, and it would be good for him to know about this too. So I would just add that in here and add Joe Burns, Dean of Faculty. Is there any opposition to amending the resolution as such? Great, seeing none, it's amended. Great. Yeah. I'll do that. Is there any other discussion on this amendment? Yeah, please, Evan.
Just add one more point. It was to say exactly the same thing Cole said. It was a resounding success last year. It's a wonderful idea. It should definitely continue. It's not a lot of work. Pass this resolution.
Great, thanks. Is there any further discussion on this resolution? Great. Seeing none, we'll...
Call the question.
Great. Is there any opposition to calling the question? Fantastic. We'll go ahead and take a vote. All those with green placards, all those in favor of this resolution, please raise your green placard. Great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11. Fantastic. Any opposed? Great. The resolution passes 11-0. We now have...
I hope you join the committee next year and help administer the award.
Great. Thank you. And we'll definitely have more updates for you all on that as we go along. One very last thing. We have Lauren Ritter, who's the president of the Student Union Board. And the Student Union Board is Willard Strait. And she also has been working on the creation of the Bear's Den. So, Lauren, I'm going to give you like 90 seconds. I hope that's okay.
Okay, so I wanted to tell everyone about the Bear's Den, which is the table and should not be in the hiding room. We don't know if many of you or any of you actually sit in the room. We're going to talk about this. So basically, the Bear's Den is a new special place for programming on campus. So when you're a student, if you walk into the Bear's Den, into the hiding room, there's a back room behind where the film lab is. That's a place for people to come in with the users. I'm not as chief here as a good bar. However, I think it's a good selection. We have, it's called as a secret out Cornell official group, the only place you can get on campus. So basically, it's another place to go get a drink on campus, have some dinner, spend time with friends, get some work done, and then go back to what you're doing.
And it's a good place to, I think, they're definitely making sure that graduate students have some ability to schedule events and host things there. So if you're looking for an alternative place in Willard Strait to host an event, I know the BRB gets a lot of usage. Definitely consider that and talk to Lauren. If you need her contact info, send me an email. Great, thanks. Are there any other questions for Lauren?
Yeah, please.
How do you approach the booking number? How far are you going to go?
So what you do is you go there that are actually out by the view, and you get a brief description of what you're hoping to do, whether it's looking at something like you're hoping, that's going to be a huge comment about their website. And you say what you'd like to do and when you'd like to do, and then we'll send you back to say which streets are available, which are for your time frame and the space. And then we're looking at the number of options. And next semester is pretty open, and this semester is kind of closed down. But I hope you guys come to something that you're completed about to start up online.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Lauren. Appreciate it. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in open forum? Great. Oh, Trevaney.
I think the initiative to, as I mentioned earlier, get women focused on gender issues, like programming related to academic services is really important, and that's something I want to work on. So does anyone want to work on that with me? I have lost your ground for a couple minutes and come to you.
Great, thanks. Anyone else? Fantastic. Is there any objection to adjourning the meeting? Great. Seeing none, meeting is adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.